Hey parents, this is a little ears warning. Jesus is the most radical redeemer and restorer, but this podcast may contain some topics which are not appropriate for little ears. So if there are little ears around, you might want to pop in some headphones or hit the pause button right now and pick it up at another time. Jesus be glorified through these testimonies. Welcome everybody to Win Our World podcast series. And over the next 4 weeks as a global church, we're going to be looking at what it is to move from the manifest presence of God into the miraculous and win our world for Jesus. And we're going to have a variety of people join us as guests on this podcast from our church community. We're going to hear about how they met Jesus, and then we're going to hear about how they, in their very real, normal, ordinary, and often very full lives, are winning their world for Jesus. Guys, it is our prayer that you and me would be encouraged, a little bit provoked, and equipped to share Jesus and to win our world for Him. All right, guys, let's jump right in. Well, welcome back, everybody. And we are powering through these podcasts. And I just want to first of all say how encouraged I am and we are by all of your testimonies. Oh my goodness, it is incredible to see how the Holy Spirit is just prompting our hearts in this season and how we are being obedient just in the small little promptings that is really changing people's lives. There is so many things from the small to large. I had a conversation with someone just this other week who was sharing about the fact they've been going to this cafe for such a long amount of time and known this particular waitress, and they're like, I've never really shared. And they were sort of saying it like, oh, it's not really a huge testimony, but I just want to share it. And they were saying that this particular waitress looked quite down on this day, and so she just asked her, you know, hey, you seem quite down, like what's going on? Anyway, had the opportunity to tell that Jesus loved her and to pray for her, which encouraged her so much. And she was like, oh yeah, it's not that big. And I'm like, yes, it is big. This is the thing. Like, the name of Jesus was shared. His heart for his daughter was shared. Like, these are the things. And so things like that are happening all over the place in all sorts of spaces. So I just want to, just start by sharing a testimony and just encouraging you guys to keep telling us what's happening. Anyway, so I could talk about testimonies all day, but we won't, because we have in the podcast studio with us today a new friend of mine, which I've just met recently, Sam Breedy. Welcome. Yes,
thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to chat. We got chatting before the podcast. I'm like, we better get starting this podcast, because I feel like we could just talk forever. And I was just asking you about your name and where your name comes from. So maybe we can actually start there.
Okay, great. Yeah. So my first name's Sam Breedy. My last name, Adhikari, and it's a very Nepali name.
Yes, which is your heritage.
Which is my heritage. Yeah. And my first name means prosperity, and my surname means one who has authority.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh, there's like a whole sermon in just that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's very interesting, because for a long time, as I was saying to you, like I didn't tap into that.
Yeah.
But in this season of my life, like, God is revealing to me my godly design.
I love that you said that, like, yeah. Godly design.
Yeah.
Not even a plan, a purpose, but actually, yeah, the being, our very being, like the design of who we are. I think a lot of the time we ask God what we're meant to do.
Yeah.
And he's so focused on who we are, because all the doing comes just out of who we are.
Yeah.
So I love that you even say godly design rather than like my purpose. Yeah, because I think we can only know the purpose in context to how he's designed us.
Yeah, and also like he named me that before I even knew that name for myself.
Yep.
You know, it's like, wow, God, you saw something in me before I could even like understand what that meant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Whew, it really is like the Jeremiah scripture of like, you knew me in my mother's womb.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to start at the start. and I'm going to start by asking you like how you met Jesus, because did you grow up in Nepal?
Well, I was actually born in Nepal, and I spent probably like my early years of life there, and my family migrated to Australia when I was around, well, first at the age of 2 and then 6.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Australia.
Okay.
However, like Nepal has just been still home for me, you know,
and totally.
Gone back every couple of years, like usually 2-3 years.
Oh, that's so good.
And just been home. And I think like it's still home for me. So is Australia.
Yep. You know? I get that. I think a lot of people can relate to that. Like, and I think that's beautiful that even the Lord has like purpose and design in both of those places.
Yeah.
All right. So you came to Australia when you were young with your family.
Yeah.
And did you grow up in a Christian home?
I did not.
Neither did I. Neither did I.
It's just wild. Like, I think when I think back on it, it's like he found me when I wasn't even looking for him.
Wow.
You know, and so as I was born in Nepal, and as I was sharing on Sunday, like less than 0.1% of people actually identify as Christian.
Wow.
And so that like majority Hinduism and Buddhism religion in Nepal, yep. Obviously I grew up in that religion, yeah. a different yeah. religion to Christianity. And yeah. I didn't know the Lord, and neither did my family, neither mm-hmm. did my generational line. Like mm-hmm. no one knew the Lord before Jesus. And I grew up in that environment.
Yep.
But when he saved me, it's like I can see the fruit of my salvation pouring out onto my generational line. You know? Yeah, he's so good.
He's so good. Mm. It says in the Bible, like, you'll be saved and your household.
Yeah.
And yeah. I have a lot of friends who are, like, first-generation Christian. And I was just sharing with actually a friend last night, we were talking about, it's like, yeah, God's just doing such a work in the heart of my mother mm-hmm. and just sharing like over time. And like, he's been following the Lord for a long time mm-hmm. now, but just recently has just seen like Holy Spirit soften at her heart and like even take off like blinders to yeah. what, like, why is the world this way? Oh my gosh, like asking questions that yeah. she's never asked before. So we're just praying and interceding for this family that, like, yeah. it's obviously the God's intention is not just save him, but to save the whole household. Yeah.
100%. And I'm seeing that same softening in my family, right? So, like, my brother now comes to church regularly. Like, wow. my mom went to healing rooms and she was like radically delivered wow. and healed wow. and started like softening to the Lord. And my 80-year-old grandmother received the Lord. So like, I'm just seeing praise this and, God. And I'm taking a step back a little bit being like, Lord, I see what you're doing and I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And this is also my ministry, you know, to disciple my family.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yes, that's really important. We could take about 20 tangents but on that just alone. But let's go back to your childhood, your growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you meet Jesus? How did he come into your life?
Yeah. So he found me in my relationship with my best friend in high school.
So good.
And her name is Sneha. And we're still best friends, by the way.
Oh, my gosh, I love that.
I know.
My best friend I met when I was one of my best, well, she's, yeah, my longest best friend since we met when we were 8. And she yeah. also, like, led me to the Lord. And we're still friends to this day.
Wow.
Yeah. Friends oh. are, like, really important. Like, really important. In and kingdom.
Like, God gives you kingdom friendships.
Yes, he does.
You know, it's not yeah. just the person that saves you. It's like the person yep. who's going to be your kingdom friend.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So tell me more. So did she grow up in a Christian family? Like, what? How did that whole connection happen?
Yeah. So she grew up in a Anglican sort of household.
Yep.
So she knew Jesus and she, over the course of like a few years in our friendship, she was like sharing about Jesus and she prayed for me. She taught me how to pray as well, which is wild and big.
So good.
That shifted something.
I think we often don't do that. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So she taught me how to pray and then she invited me to church. People prayed for me. And so, like, my heart softened gradually, you know, because my mm-hmm. friend loved me enough to share Jesus with me and she loved me enough to tell me the truth.
Yes, wow.
You know, about Jesus. And so that saved me. And the beautiful thing about that is, like, now – you know, 17 plus years later, we're still best friends and we have a kingdom friendship where we've like allowed the Lord to take leadership in our relationship. And so we're seeing the fruit of that. And like even last night we were on the phone. We're just like warring for the kingdom together.
Come on.
And that's like a friendship he's like truly graced me with. Yeah.
What a blessing.
Mm.
Ooh, I think even for parents of children, keep your eyes open yeah. for like where, you know, where maybe the Lord is bringing a friend that has more than just, you know, the gift of friendship. Friendship is a gift, but sometimes there's more in those relationships. I mean, I was 8, so unless you had spiritual eyes to see, it just looked like a normal kind of friend.
Mm.
So I think even for parents, it's good to sort of be aware of some of those things. It's like there's purpose.
So God true.
There's purpose in those things. Mm. Okay. So she taught you to pray, so good. She brought you to church, so you experienced a group of gathering of believers.
Yeah.
And then over time, your heart softened. What did that look like? And when did you feel like to answer the knock of the door of your heart?
Yeah. I'll be honest, it took a few years.
Yeah.
I think there was just like a lot of resistance, and perhaps that was even coming from like a generational,
yes,
you know, perspective.
Yeah.
But it looked like me just turning up to church regularly and feeling like there's something different about this space and this place, and it's there's something different about me when I am here and when I leave. And so like I want to keep doing that. I want to keep coming because there's something different there that I'm just very curious about, you know. And I just started to feel like I belonged in that place. Like I belong here. And one day I was like, there isn't a point where I can't think of going to church. Mm. There isn't a point where I can't think of being a part of this family. Mm. So this is where I am now.
So you felt valued?
I did.
And seen?
Yeah, I would say so. I felt like I belonged. I think that was the biggest thing. I was seen by the Lord. I was valued by the Lord. And I felt like I belonged in his house. It's my father's house, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
That's what I think was the shift to receiving him as Lord.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
So what happened in that moment? Like what happened as I guess like a roll on effect of that? Like did anything change in your life? Yeah, how did that look after you were like, okay, Jesus, I belong here. Mm. Like, this is my father's house. I say yes to you as savior and as Lord of my life, both as my savior, but then also as my king.
Yeah.
You know, you have authority over my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened after that? What did that look like?
I think when you receive Jesus, like he just showers you with his love, right? So you like have this heart of love for people that you didn't have before.
Oh, totally.
You're like, where is this coming from?
So
I just started feeling such love for people.
Come on, wow.
And I would see them differently. Like literally, like something had like lifted, like the scales of my eyes had lifted, you know? I started seeing them so differently, and I started wanting to like love them. And saw the world in color. You know, before it was like a bit gray, a bit black and white, but it was colorful now. And then I started like surrounding myself with kingdom friendships.
Come on. Yes. Community, you know, so important.
And just being held in truth in those friendships. Yes,
that's a great
holding me accountable.
Uh-huh.
So it looked like me rearranging my life and my heart.
Yeah.
You know, for kingdom purpose.
Yeah. When he's king, it's like you can't – when he is at the head, then everything has to kind of be rearranged around that. Things that were the priority, now he's the priority. And so things do change. And I love that he's super gracious in that space. So, I would say about over the first 12 months of my – walk with him was like this process of reorganizing.
Yeah,
reorganizing my life, reorganizing friendships, reorganizing work. I was doing a job that I was traveling a lot for, and it actually meant that like I couldn't be embedded deeply in community. Mm-mm. And so it was one of the reasons I was like, I think this is a good time for change. Like I can't, I'm away every second week for something, like, you know, trying to be part of life group. And he's like, here, you're not here. You're not. It's like, you know, how do I stay kind of deep? And my heart was like hungering for more. Yeah. So, yeah, things got rearranged.
Yeah. And there's a tension in that as well. You know? Because you're so used to living by the world.
Yep.
And so there's a tension in being like, Lord, I want to rearrange my life. And I'm like, so for it. But this is hard.
Yes. Yeah, where did you feel that? Like, because that can be felt in so many ways. Like, it can be felt with work. It can be felt in friendships. It can be felt in family. Like, were there specific areas where you did feel that tension?
Probably across all the spheres of my life, really, to be honest. But I think work was a big one.
Yeah.
So,
what were you doing for work at the time?
So, at the time, that's a good question. I was doing my medical training.
Okay.
So, I was in like a very cutthroat environment,
yeah,
you know, and there was just a lot of just like a lot of stress, a lot of striving to, you know, do all the things. Mm-hmm. And I just remember feeling like, oh, there's a tension in this that doesn't sit right.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, and that's when I started asking the Lord about like, how do you see this? Like, what's going on here? Like, what do you want to do in this space at work? And I started asking him questions about like why I was gravitating towards like certain types of specialties and, you know, all of those questions. And I think once I turned to him, he answered me, you know. So it was even just the posture of when you're rearranging things. Yeah. It's like, God, what do you see that I don't?
Yes. So good.
Yeah.
Such great questions.
Mm.
How does this look to you? Like, what's your perspective on this? Like, I feel like this is really important, but is this really important for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great questions.
Mm.
So let's talk a little bit about your work, because I think that's a huge part of your story. Mm. So maybe you can share with us a little bit about what you do now and how that's very linked to, I think, both sharing the love of Jesus, but also embodying that. Like, you don't just share with words, you are the embodiment of that. Yeah. Okay. I'll stop there.
Yeah. That's a big question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll start by just saying that I work as a GP and I work across a few different spheres. Mm-hmm. I work with vulnerable populations in our community. So that looks like working with inmates in prison.
Mm-hmm.
So I work in prison twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I also work in like mainstream general practice.
Mm-hmm.
I work with refugees and asylum seekers and also like just people who are struggling with like substance use and sexual health problems.
Yeah. Wow.
Maybe. So those were the things that the Lord had put on my heart, like just to serve this population because it was his heart. Right? His heart for the lost and the afflicted.
That's amazing.
So that was the answer to one of my questions I was asking him about my work.
Yes. You know, wow.
There's got to be more to my work than what I am experiencing now.
Yeah. And actually in the Bible, when it talks about at the very beginning, when it talks about work for Adam and Eve, like go and work the garden, the word work, when you drill down, it means worship. So like our work, like what we're doing for the Lord is our worship to him, whether it's a mother taking care of their children full time, whether it's like what you're doing, like serving these communities, it's all worship.
Yes.
Like that is our lives should be a posture of worship. Yes. And what we do, whatever it looks like, even if it's like a job that we, I don't know, maybe it's like retail or whatever, and you don't feel like it's particularly like the calling of this specific thing, but it's what God's given to you in this moment. Like, hey, you've given me this ability to earn wealth. You've given me this job. Like I'm going to use this as worship. Mm. Like, even if you don't feel like it's a particular calling, but it can all be postured as worship to him.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Okay. So you have this heart. I love the communities that you serve because I think when we read the gospels, these are God's people. Like, these are the people that Jesus hangs out with.
Mm.
You know, the Lord was speaking to me a little while ago about, he said, Aaron, it's all very well to heal the sick and, you know, see signs and wonders and miracles. But he said, are you clothing the unclothed and taking care of the widow and like washing the feet of the people in your world and in your neighborhood? I was like, oh. And as he said it, I was just like, I don't think we think, I mean, especially in Pentecostalism, we can focus a lot on, I guess, the power gifts of Christ, which are gifts to serve one another in. I mean, I look after healing rooms, so I love it when God heals people. I'm all about it. But it's like, just be careful that the love in measure of taking care of the widow and clothing those who need clothes and feeding those who need to be fed is, you know, is just as important to my heart as like the love of Christ and the power of Christ that comes through acts of service is important as serving people in the space of like healing and signs and what, like it, the weight of, hard to explain, I'm not articulating it very well,
but
the weight that the Lord was putting on how important it is for him that we take care of our communities I thought, wow, okay. And I reoriented some stuff in my life because I'm like, where are the widows like in my apartment building? Who is without? And where am I working towards taking care of those who don't have enough money to feed themselves?
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like. I thought, wow, I need to reorient some things to fit this scripture, that this scripture is evident in me. Yeah, so I love that you say that, because I think, oh, like if Jesus was here today, which he is, but if he was like, these would be the people. These are the people in the Gospels that we see him hanging out with and actively searching out.
Yes.
Like it's not the Pharisees and, you know, the people in Jerusalem who are like, you know, whatever. He's like, yeah, the prostitute, the beggar, like the people who in society are not seen and maybe not even valued in society, but are so seen and so valued by the Lord. So, oh, I just, the heart of Jesus when you share about these people, when you were sharing about them just recently in church, was like, oh, the manifestation of Christ in that moment was quite powerful and very unique.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit more about, I guess, within this sphere of feeling called to really love these people. And you're dead on. Mm. I love how you say that your heart towards others changed. Like I always laugh because when someone says something like, oh, you know, really love people, I was like, that is not me, because me pre-Jesus days, like I would stand in the supermarket, I'd stand in the supermarket line and just, there'd be like someone who is struggling like with their three kids and to put the bags of the shopping in the supermarket, and I'd just be like, can you hurry up? Like my like it was so bad. It was, I'm like, my friends would rebuke me like, Erin, you need to, like that's so unkind, like just like calm down. I'd be like, if they can't get it, they shouldn't come to the supermarket. Like, it was so bad. It was so bad. Such a hard heart, like such a hard heart for people. And I think one of the biggest things that God's done in me is just given me his heart for others, like taken this heart of stone and given me heart of flesh.
Yes.
Amen. And when you can look at people and be like, and feel a little bit of God's heart, because if I felt all of God's heart for people, I would be like completely overwhelmed. But just to capture a little bit of God's heart for someone.
Yeah,
I think that's a huge factor in salvation and just in sanctification. Like, is that capturing of God's heart for one another, those who both know him and don't know him yet. Yeah, so I love that you say that that's part of even your process, like, okay, came to meet Jesus, and then I actually came to see his people as he saw them.
Well, I mean, the scriptures talk about, you know, that true religion is when you help those who are in distress, the orphans in distress and the widows. Yep. Right?
Yes.
Not to be polluted by the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he asks us to do. And so I think, Lord, why wouldn't I go into these places and spaces?
Yeah.
You did.
Yes, totally.
You
yes.
went there. So we are to follow you.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's just like, if I backtrack, right, and say that there were some moments where I let the world label me, right? Mm. So I used to think, oh, you know, maybe it's just an adventurous spirit. And maybe people are like, oh, you're just a thrill seeker because you want to go and work in places where other people don't want to go. What's that about? That's like crazy. And I'd be like, no, actually I want to. Like I have a passion for this. And I don't partner with those labels because there's something more about that.
Yeah.
And that's when the Lord was like, this is my heart because I love this demographic. I love these people. I want to show them love. And so that made sense to me.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
Totally.
So I received that love, but then also like that there's a tension between what you said was so good. There's a tension between having love and like showing that love from the Lord and then like being like, well, this is a little bit too much. I'm feeling all the love sometimes. And I've just got so much love right now that, you know, you have to be aware of things like compassion fatigue and And, you know, where do I stop and where does the Lord take over?
That's so good.
And that part of like coming home at the end of the day and being like, okay, Lord, like I think I did what you want me to do, what you wanted me to do today, but like now I hand over to the great physician.
Come on.
Because these are your people. These are your patients. I'm simply stewarding that, you know? And totally. So I had to learn that. I had to learn that.
I think that's true of so many areas. Like, that can be true of parenting. That can be true of ministry. Like, and I say it's all ministry. Like, you know, like when you're working in a pastoral role, that can be the same. Even when you, I think areas where we're really passionate, like even teachers, like I have some amazing teachers, girlfriends and guys in my life that are, like one last night was just like, I'm just asking the Lord, like works in a secular school, and I'm just asking the Lord, how can I create spaces for the kids that are marginalized on the outside to actually experience like God in the presence without actually directly preaching the gospel, which she can't. But her heart was like, how can I do more, but not overdo the more, but do what God's asking. And I think you nailed it when you were like, at some point I have to recognize I am not God. Like, God is God.
Yeah.
Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for these people, like interceding on our behalf, including all the people that we've seen today in whatever we're doing. And I need to not play God. He was in their life before I arrived. He'll be in their life after I leave. So I just have to do the part that he's asked me to do. So I think it's when you're talking about like compassion fatigue, which can happen in so many areas of life, and can even happen like when we want to, I mean, where's the end? You know, the only thing that will fix this, how am I going to say it? There can be an endless need in many spaces, and we can sometimes get stuck like in that.
Yeah.
But I think it, as you said, it comes back to two things. I think knowing that God is God and he's got this and that he's only ever asking us to be obedient.
Mm.
Like, what is the thing that the Lord, in all of this, what is the thing that the Lord is asking me to do?
Yeah.
Because that's all we're going to answer to. Like, we're not going to answer to, like, why did we not fix the world's issue with poverty? Yep. Or, like, why did we not fix a generation's issue with this? It's like, no, God just asked me to do this one thing in this one space, and knowing that that's, he's got the rest covered. Like, that's enough for him, me just being obedient to the one thing that he asked.
Yeah.
And knowing that he's God and I'm not.
Yeah. Like, he hasn't called you to go everywhere. He's called you to go somewhere.
Mm.
And just like even asking God, like just have a dialogue with the Father. Like, what is it that you want me to do? And if I'm not doing those things, what am I taking like of from you that you want to do?
Yeah.
So I think there is a sensitivity that is required in asking those questions.
Yeah.
You know, and a discernment that you need because you can overstep.
Yes.
And sometimes that comes with like pride as well, being like, oh, I'm going to do all the things.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
But where do you end?
We've all been there for sure.
Yeah.
I remember this one day I had this like real revelation that like, Jesus, it's going to sound really simple, but it was a revelation for me at the time of like, Jesus came. He shared the message that the Father had given him to share. He did and accomplished like the work of the cross.
Mm.
Atoned for all of our sins, past, present, and future, and left the world in his bodily form, accomplished this on the cross. But then I was like, but then there was still sick. There were still lame people. There was still leprosy. There were still beggars. I'm like, wow. Even like Jesus really models that for us. Like, he only did what the Father was doing.
Yes, yes.
And you think like he was the Messiah. Like, you think, okay, Jesus is going to come and everyone's going to be healed and like everything's going to be whatever. And I was like, that wasn't even true for him.
That's so good.
How could that be true for me? Like, that wasn't even true for him. And that really, I received a lot of personal freedom from that moment. Like, it was obvious, but I was like, wow, no, this is really, he only ever did what the Father was asking. Mm. And if that, asking him to do, and if that was good for Jesus, then that's okay for me too. Like, I take that.
That's so good. That's a breakthrough in thinking.
Like, it was for me, totally. It totally was for me. That, and yeah, I think also like what you sort of, yeah, there's so much in this space. I think even in just a life of evangelism and a life of just embodying Christ for the world that we live in, we do have to really be careful we don't get caught up in like a works mentality or pride, like 100%, like, okay, I'm going to do this and this, and even not to show anyone, but just for out, because then I'm more holy or I'm more righteous. And we don't necessarily think like that directly, but that can sometimes be the motivation of our heart. And I think we do need to allow the Holy Spirit to search our heart and share the motives of our heart with that. Because when we are being obedient, I find like there's so much grace that comes, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Like there is so much grace that comes with the obedience for the one thing he's asking us to do.
Oh, yeah. And I've felt that. And I think like when I decided to actually partner with the Lord, like to work with him and for him, I saw such shifts in the way I practiced.
Wow.
Right? So like I saw unusual favor, divine protection.
Come on.
Okay. And like a joy to do this work. And that is like, that's heavenly strategy. That is not anything earthly.
Yes.
You know? And before I used to be like a good day at work is if I finished on time, if I got through my list, if someone was nice to me, you know?
Yes.
But now when you partner with the Lord, he blesses you, right? And if I can come home at the end of the day and be like, Lord, this was a good day because you said to me good, like you did a good job, good and faithful servant. That's a good day. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's changed the way I think about how I work.
That's huge.
Mm.
And I feel like there's the yoke is light, you know, the joy of like, okay, I'm doing this, but I'm experiencing like genuine joy. Yeah. I think it's where we can access the obedience of, following him. We get rid of some of the yokes that we place upon ourselves that can be quite heavy.
Yeah.
We get to walk in the lightness. Okay, so let's share some testimonies, if you can, just about some of the opportunities that you've had to share with different people as you've worked with them, loved on them, and ministered to them.
Yeah, I'd love to. I think like one example is actually outside of my work sphere because I think it's so important that like we are called to ministry in different areas of our life.
Oh, preach it, girl.
You know, work preach is one it. Of them. My family is another.
Yep.
The other one is my community. So like the Lord had been putting on my heart like for the last 2 years also to minister to the houseless population in North Melbourne.
Wow.
So one morning I woke up with a dream and I'm a dreamer. So come I knew on. It was like from the Lord.
Yeah.
And he showed me like this cafe.
Uh-huh.
And it's one that I like walked past a few times at the market. So I went there and I was like just standing in front of the cafe, looking around, being like, Lord, you know, what do you want to show me here?
Yeah.
And then I see a man that's like sitting near the cafe and he's holding a sign that says he's homeless and that he wants help. And so I knew like that was the Holy Spirit's prompting, you know? And in that moment, I just prayed and I said, Lord, like, what are you doing in this space? Like, what are you doing in his life? And where do I fit in? Where do I fit into this?
Yes.
I don't know what I'm going to say, but let's go.
Come on.
So I went up to him and I just introduced myself and I told him a little bit about me.
Great.
And I said, look, I really had to speak to you today. You know, really, I just couldn't go on with my day without speaking to you. And so he's a bit bewildered by that. And then I was like, how can I help you? Like, I see your sign. Like, what is your need right now? And he says to me, his need is actually to get a belt because his pants are falling down.
Wow.
Right.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, yeah, I can help you get a belt. But I just feel like the Lord wants to give you something more than a belt. And he's listening to me. And then I start sharing with him my dream. And I said, look, I had this dream. I was supposed to be here today. And I think it's because I was supposed to speak to you. And he's like, that's crazy because I usually sit on the other side of the market. And today I really wanted to sit on this side and in the sun.
Wow.
And I said, look, yeah, I believe you. Mm. I believe you because I think the Lord wanted us to meet and have this conversation. Do you see that? And he said, yeah, I do. I do see that now. So I start speaking to him about Jesus, you know, who he is, what he can do for us, and how he wants to meet his need today.
Yes.
And this man is just like softening. Mm. He's just like softening to the Lord in this conversation, in this moment. And he starts to share with me that like he'd been searching for something more, you know, thinking about God and how he had like thoughts to end his life recently.
Yeah.
And I just asked if I could pray for him. Like, I thanked him for sharing that, and I prayed for him. And I just felt the Holy Spirit, like, say to me, as you're praying for him, rebuke spirits of death.
Yeah.
You know, release freedom, freedom, yeah. freedom, freedom. So we're praying, and he's, like, weeping. Mm. And I'm, like, on the verge of tears. It's all happening at the market. And then after I pray for him, I just ask him how he felt.
So good.
And whether he still wanted to end his life.
Wow.
You know, and he said, no, I don't want to do that anymore.
Wow.
So praise God.
Praise God.
Right? So an example of how the Lord
yeah.
actually defeats all the power of the enemy.
Yes.
Like, not just some of it, yes. but like all of it.
Come on. Yes.
And I said to him, I would love to teach you how to pray so that you can receive Jesus for yourself in your own time. Or I can do it for you right here, right now. Okay, we can lead you to the Lord right now. What do you want to do?
That's a great way to phrase it, Sabrina. That's so good.
Mm. And he said, I want both.
Yeah, wow.
He said, I want both. And I was like, okay. So we lead him through the sinner's prayer.
Yeah.
He's received Jesus as Lord in this moment,
mm-hmm.
and he's learned how to pray. And that was like directly through the leadership of the Holy Spirit's prompting, you mm-hmm. know? And now he like has hope for his future.
Yes.
So after all of that, I just see the Lord revealing himself. He's defeated the power of the enemy.
That's it.
Right? He's had dominion in that.
Yeah.
And then he's also like given this guy a belt that he wanted, but he's given him so much more.
Yes.
He's given him salvation and eternal life. And I just think, wow, Lord, you give us more than we can ever ask, think, or imagine.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Ephesians 3:20. Yes, absolutely. I love your heart, Sambridi, because I think you met him where he had a genuine need.
Mm.
I think, you know, we see this, we see Jesus minister in this way, like there is a need met. So even the blind man that Jesus heals, he met him in a need.
Mm.
Like his blindness made him an outcast. His blindness made him unable to work and so impoverished. And it would have been one thing to be like, I'm the Messiah. Would you like to, you know, would you like to follow me and receive eternal life and forgiveness for sins? But it was like he met him in a need and restored him back into community, restored him, his healing restored him physically, yes, but so much more, like restored him back into a community, restored him back into dignity, like dignity was restored, as well as salvation, eternal life, all the things. So I love that you started with like, what's the practical, like how can I actually serve you? How can I wash your feet in a very practical way?
Mm.
And I just imagine like what a city would look like. Like if all the people who follow Jesus were walking around being like, okay, how can I wash the feet of my city? Mm. How can I wash the feet of someone today, one person? I think we would see our cities transformed in such a short amount. It would be quicker than we would think.
Yeah.
If everyone who, you know, followed the Lord was active in that way of like, how can we, How can I serve the widow? How can I clothe those who need to be clothed? How can I feed those who need to be fed? Yeah, and just following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Like you didn't go to every homeless person you found. You went to where the Lord showed you. You were like, yep, this is the one. You followed the prompting, engaged in the conversation, loved on him, served him, practically helped him, and then gave him more than just practical help, but actually something that's going to help him much more ongoingly.
Mm.
Wow. Okay, we've got time for one more.
Yeah.
Because I know you have a lot, but we have time for, I feel like there's one more. Yeah, maybe something in your workspace.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
Maybe something in your workspace.
I think about one of my patients. I just remember him coming into my room and we speak about his practical need, you know, in that moment. And so at the point at which like the consult ended, he told me that he'd just been reading the Bible, or started to read the Bible.
Wow.
Just, you know, has nothing to do with what we were talking about.
Does he know you're a believer?
No.
That's even crazier.
Yeah. So I often ask the Holy Spirit, you know, like, mm-hmm. give me opportunities mm-hmm. to actually, like, proclaim
That's so
your name.
Important to pray about those things before. Yeah. Yes, come on. Yes, yeah. yes, yes.
So give me these opportunities, Lord. And so there are moments in my workday where I'm, like, doing my work and mm-hmm. then the Holy Spirit will, like, prompt me with something. Mm-hmm. And I know that that is the point of discipleship.
Wow.
So I turn away from my computer and I'm just like, sorry, what did you say? You started reading the Bible. Tell me about that. What are you reading? You know, so we go into a conversation about the Bible and what he's reading, and he shares that he's just feeling a resistance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not really getting it.
Wow.
He's struggling to really understand the words.
Mm-hmm.
But he felt like he just needed to read it. And growing up, like, if I can just say, growing up, not in a Christian household or in church, a lot of the things I had to learn for myself, right? In terms of, when was God speaking? Is this God speaking?
Yeah, totally.
And I think if someone can speak into that in those moments and say, that's what's going on. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You know, that's so helpful. So I say to him, wow, like, God's just really trying to speak to you right now through his word.
Yeah, wow.
You know? And he, like, he had never heard that before. And he was like, really? Like, God's trying to speak to me? Yes, God's trying to speak to you through his word, and he wants you to read this Bible, you know. And so I asked him, you know, like, have you prayed before you read the Bible? Like, what are you doing? How are you reading this? And he hadn't been praying before he was reading. So we were just like, let's pray. Let's do this. Let's pray before you read the Bible. And so that, you know, like, what you're reading actually jumps out of the page to you, and you can have a heart revelation for God's word. It. And he was so excited by that. And he was like, I'm going to pray. Yeah, I'm going to pray. And and so he leaves the room feeling confident that the Lord has spoken to him.
Epic. So, so big. That's such a huge thing.
You know, and that, like, really arrested me when I was, like, hearing that, because no one had told him that that's what was going on, or he didn't know. And it is our responsibility to actually say, that's the Holy Spirit, and proclaim his name. It's not just about good works. It's not just demonstration of works. It's proclaiming his name.
Yes.
And giving honor where honor is due, right? And so, like, the scriptures tell us, let your light shine before others so that your good deeds may glorify your Father in heaven. So it's like, if we're not actually bringing the Lord's name into it, we might just be doing it for ourselves.
Well,
you know, yeah.
Even before, I mean, I look back on my life and I see that even before that, there's, like, moments where God was speaking to me and moving in my heart before I even could recognize that it was him. And I think that's so the case. Like, yeah, I've shared a few testimonies on the podcast about things happening and someone being like, oh, like, having that conversation with them, like, oh, funny, you're, like, the second person today, or you're the third person this week that's come and told me that. And I'm like, do you think maybe that's the Lord trying to get your attention, you know?
Yeah.
Or even there's been a couple of people that have come to healing rooms who've come with friends that don't know the Lord yet. Their friends brought them along, and I sort of say to them, you know, do you have faith that Jesus can heal you today? Do you believe that he can heal you today? And they're like, sometimes like, oh, I don't know, like, I said, well, I don't think you would take the effort to come out on a Saturday morning and spend a couple of hours with us here if you didn't have at least a little faith that Jesus could heal you. Like, you wouldn't be here if you didn't have something, you know? So I think that's the Holy Spirit already at work in your heart. Like, I think that curiosity that you have
for sure,
oh, maybe this could happen, is already the Lord working in you. Like,
yeah.
And they're like, okay, maybe, like, yeah, I didn't really want to come at all, and then I just really felt like I should, and, like, it all kind of unravels from there. So it's beautiful when we actually get to awaken people's awareness to the fact that God is already speaking to them. He's already at work in their life.
Yes.
And it moves them just closer to that awareness of who he is.
Yeah, and we need to understand that he already has a prophetic relationship with people. Yeah. He already has a relationship with that person in front of you, and you just need to ask where you fit in.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that that's your question, like, okay, Lord, who is this person to you, and where do I fit into the story?
Mm.
So good. Okay, we have to wrap up, unfortunately. I could literally talk for hours. But maybe you can pray for people, especially like in their workplace, Sambriti, that are looking for, okay, I want this to be a place where God is ministering through me, but you know, how does that work? And even in the medical field, like there's so many different like complications and things that can happen, but you're just such a testimony of God at work in this way, in all the spaces and all the places. So maybe even just those who feel like their workplace is quite void of any movement of God, which we know it isn't because he is continually like wooing people to him. But maybe even just, yeah, can pray for that or anything else you feel led by the Lord to pray for.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank
love
you.
To.
Thanks, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Father God, Lord, we just thank you so much for who you are. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your nature.
Yeah.
Thank you, God, that you are so trustworthy. You are so faithful. Oh, thank you that you would trust us with your heart. Thank you that you would trust us with your heart. And we just pray, Lord, that we would be given opportunities where, like, we could steward your heart well.
Yes.
Wow. For your children, for this world, Lord. Like, we want opportunities. Would you just, like, release heavenly opportunities onto every single person listening, onto our congregation? Would you give us these opportunities to be able to, like, be trusted with your heart? Thank you that, as you say, you know, like, the Spirit searches the deep things of God. And so we just search the deep things of God, Lord. Like our spirits cry out to know what the deep things that are on your heart are. And we want you to trust us with that, Lord. So Father, thank you. Thank you that you're doing a work on our hearts, Lord. And I thank you that you bless us as we trust you. And I thank you that you bless us as we have confidence in you and what you're already doing in the lives of people that you've put in our spaces and places and spheres of influence. Lord, thank you that we have come to a point where like you put us into these places for a reason and a purpose. And I just pray that you'd give people spiritual eyesight, that the scales of their eyes would fall off thank in the name Lord. Of Jesus, thank that they Lord. Would see their heavenly purpose
yes,
at God. Such a time as this, Lord.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Would you go with every single person into their workplaces? Mm. Would you just like highlight to them in the spirit, you know, the people that you have put into their lives, the role that you have given them? I thank you that it is for a heavenly purpose. And I declare and I decree that every single workplace role, every single role in the community, their ministries, in their families, yes, their God. Friendships, their communities, thank their workplaces, you. That it is designed for heavenly purpose thank and that they would you, be Lord. Open, their hearts would be open, their eyes would be open, their ears would be opened
thank you, Lord.
Yes. to what your heavenly strategies are. Lord, we just pray for an upside down shaking of every workplace right now through the Spirit.
Thank you,
I just God. Pray that like there would be salvation, there would be healing, there'd be deliverance in every single workplace Jesus. And every single area of ministry that we walk into, Lord. We just like ask you for these opportunities. Like, would you give us opportunities to like proclaim your name and demonstrate who you are
thanks, God.
To the people in front of us? Thank you, God. And Lord, if there is any spirit of resistance that's stopping people from actually like moving forward and activating their faith, if there is a spirit of resistance that's like just making them feel uncomfortable to like demonstrate and proclaim your name, Lord, would you speak to them about what that is? Would you highlight it to them in the spirit? And would you allow them to give it to you, Father? Would you give them heavenly solutions? Because you have the solution to every problem. It comes from heaven. So thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to every single person about what that is for them. And I thank you that you open doors and like a pathway and a highway of the Holy Spirit to work in that. We thank you for what you're about to do, what you're about to pour out onto your people. Thank you, Jesus. And would you increase our sensitivity to you speaking to us, even in the small, tiny whispers? Would you just increase our sensitivity to every single time you are standing next to us or where your hand is at our workplaces or, you know, even in our families and ministries? Like, where are you standing? Can you show us? Make us more sensitive to your spirit in these places. Lord, I just thank you for this time to be able to share your word and to share the incredible things that you're doing in my life and the lives of the people around me and the people that you put into my life. And Lord, I thank you for this podcast. I thank you for what you are doing here. I thank you that like the things that are spoken in this space, they would be catapulted, you know, to the corners of the world that need to hear it. Blessed are those who have eyes to see and ears to hear the truth. Thank you that you are opening up hearts and eyes and ears to the things that you are speaking through this podcast. We bless this podcast. We thank you for this heavenly strategy. May you be glorified in this and in this move of God. Oh, Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Sam Brady, thank you so much for joining us. I know so many people, I've been stirred and inspired, and I know I'm not the only one, that there's going to be many, whatever sphere that they're working in, that have been really inspired by your story and stirred, and maybe a little provoked, and that's good too.
We need provoking.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. And again, we want to hear more of your stories and, how the Lord is being stirring you and provoking you, and how you've been sharing Jesus with people in your world, maybe even your workplace, like we've heard about today. So let us know, drop us a message on Instagram, drop us a message on the website. You can do that at pneuma.church/pray, or share with someone in your congregation, with your life group. We want to hear about it. And yeah, as we do, as we share the testimonies of what God's doing, it helps really keep us. I know, out of these conversations, I'm so stirred, and I feel like I'm accountable to share the gospel. So yeah, we want to hear about how that's happening for you. All right, guys, that is it for the podcast today, and we will see you next time.